Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Hi, I'm Justin, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Justin.
And welcome to the Aussie Park Convention. Some housekeeping, toilets are in the foyer. Smoking is just down the end of the hallway here. Tea and coffee is available all day in the foyer. In case of emergency, we will meet wherever that sign says.
Down the stairs on the park.
Yeah, probably that way. I'll now read the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. I will now hand over to Jordan, Jaden, our second chairperson.
Hi, I'm Jaden, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jaden.
The format of this meeting is that we have two guest speakers sharing for 10 minutes each. We will then be selecting people from the room to share for 5 minutes each, concluding the meeting with a final 10 minute guest speaker. Speakers will get a one morning wrap it up card and a finish card. If you have already been asked to share at this convention, please decline to give others the chance. The topic for this meeting is constructively review our day. The reading comes from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 86. Constructively reviewing our day. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe anyone an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? What we could pack into a stream of life. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. I'll now call on our first speaker, Jordan from Byron Bay.
That's right. Cheers.
Hi, this is, my name's Jordan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jordan.
When I started AA, I started in a rehab in Brisbane in 2009. I was about 3 months in and another participant of the rehab gave me the Big Book and said 86 to 88 is what his sponsor suggested for him to read every morning, and he gave me the third step prayer, the serenity prayer and the step seven prayer, and I glued him in, and it was a really, really big part of my recovery going forward to have that daily practice. And it was suggested I read 86 to 88 in the morning every day, say those three prayers and then the St. Francis prayer and meditate, and I read it every day and I started applying the morning stuff pretty early on, and that was consistent and it still is consistent in my recovery, but the evening stuff wasn't as quick for me to come. I didn't find at the end of the day I wanted to take that time to just stop and constructively review my day. I used to, when I was drinking, I'd wake up in the morning after the night before and constructively review my day. I'd be mortified.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be laughing about something dumb when it wasn't all bad, you know, early days, or I'd be embarrassed or I'd be broke and I'd just be like, oh my God. So to constructively review it, it wasn't part of my programming. My brain's naturally negative, thinks about the things that are wrong and the things I've done wrong and creates all these negativity things. So yeah, to drift into worry and remorse would be my natural thing. So if I was to sit at the end of the night before bed, I'd write down all the bad stuff. No, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't great today. Yes, I was selfish. Yes, I was resentful. Yes, and I end up just beating myself up. So I've had to sort of just tweak that stuff and just change the questions with the same idea. I'm like, what did I do today that was good? You know, did I leave people better than I found them? You know, instead of, do I need to make an amends, did I? I don't know, for me, it's just a simple shift, but it allows me to not drift into that worry and remorse. And And the other part for me is the inventory process that I got in 4 and 5, which is step 10 stuff, because I come into recovery because of my rock bottom, which was a car accident. And so I ended up in prison for a while for a DUI. And I didn't have all the things that, you know, the 5 essentials, regular meetings and a sponsor and a home group and all that stuff. And we ended up getting some of that stuff going on in there, but really what I had was my daily program was the number one thing. And yeah, the inventory process pretty much saved my life in there. I did 3 years and I didn't pick up anything. Not a drug, not a drop. I poured a bottle of vodka down a sink in a prison when I found a bottle of vodka. Someone brought it in and I smelt it and my whole body just lit up like a Christmas tree. And I'm like, I know what that is. I'm fucking going down there. Because I don't need to start that while I'm in here. And so I'd go to bed at the end of the night and I was a resentment machine in there. You know, my basic instincts were definitely hurt and threatened constantly. So I was running rough and I was ringing my sponsor 6 minutes I'd have and he'd hear to me go, help someone. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't understand. You know, it's not like that in here. But it is like that everywhere. I could focus on the things that were wrong in my life, or I could start trying to figure out what's going on in here and bring it in. And so to constructively review, I'd write the resentment out and I'd do the columns. You know, and I'd be like, oh, this is the story, column 2, this is what happened. And column 3 would be the instinct. And I didn't really connect for a long time with that instinct stuff. But I had the 12 and 12, I had the Joe and Charlie tapes, CDs. I got permission, I got them sending because I started running meetings in there. And I just every night just listen over and over and over and over. And eventually the penny dropped and I was like, oh, instinct. It says in the 12 and 12, something like this. By now the newcomer's probably come to the following conclusion that his defects of character representing instincts gone astray have been his chief cause of suffering and failure at life. And I was just like, fuck. So all of my defects are based on my instincts. So that gave me a map for the first time. I had this map, which was like, this is why I do what I do. The emotion that I have that's raging through me right now, it's about the fact that I don't feel secure or I feel insignificant. My self-esteem's not being met. It's hurt and threatened. And man, when I first got that stuff, like, I just started crying because it was the first time in my life that I actually felt connected. You know, I was just so alone in a room full of people. I'd have a whole house full of people on the piss and I just feel alone. And this little inventory process, simple sort of 4 or 5-step process, just, it hit home. And so I got to constructively review things and I got to change and challenge things that didn't exist. Like column 2 for me is just all about expectation. And if I just get stuck there, I'm just focusing on everything that isn't happening and I've got the shits. And, you know, 3 allows me to tune in and chill out. And then I did for a while, I'd get stuck in column 4, the defect. And I'd whip myself. You're failing, you're a piece of shit, you know, just look at you, you're doing all this wrong. And again, that's not recovery, you know. My sponsor would be like, the whip isn't recovery, you know? Column 3, focus on what's going on there. And it just changed everything, you know, because when I'm not hurt or threatened, when my instinct's actually chilling, God gets a chance to come in. And that was never the case, because I've been survival my whole life, because the way that I've mapped my brain out, born or built, I don't know, I just always feel worthless. I always feel disconnected, I always feel insecure, I always feel fucking bored. So I'm just constantly, like, my instincts are constantly rampaging. So, yeah, it's been huge. And I've been able to have a morning program where I can meditate and get connected and have prayer and just change that focus on others. And the crazy thing is that by doing the service principle in my life, all that other stuff's full. If I'm going out of my way to go and help someone that's suffering, then I feel more emotionally secure. You know, I feel connected. I've got variety and challenge. I'm feeling all these things that my basic instincts are craving. So, yeah, that map or that model, you know, the service part of recovery, I never would have come up with that, ever. Like, I'm empty and I'm dying inside. Go and give something away. That just wasn't the way. I was just grabbing, constantly grabbing it less and less and less and less and less. And the more I pulled in and put around me like the actor, the worse things got. I kept filling up all this superficial stuff and kept getting emptier and emptier. And yeah, once that light lit up in my stomach from service, I saw it on Facebook actually, a candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. And that's really what it's like for me. When that stuff's alive in me, it's just like, it just fills everything up. And if I can share it with someone, it gets brighter. It doesn't dim out. And yeah, I don't do that well all the time. But when I do, my life gets better. And I'm in recovery, you know, and I'm not in addiction and disease. And yeah, so I've built a sort of a set of rituals or habits for my program, and I make them really simple. I meditate for 5 minutes. That's my bare minimum, and I've got to say a few prayers about handing my will over. And if I just do that, I'm okay. But I've added all this other stuff into it now. I do breathing exercises, and I get in a sauna, and I do all this other stuff that keeps my body and my mind sort of full and flowing. And when I go to bed, I've got a similar thing. It's that constructively review the day, a bit of gratitude, meditation and stuff. But the basics are a few minutes a day. But if I'm doing well, I'm doing 30 minutes a day. And yeah, that stuff's been probably, you know, apart from the actual connection with my higher power, those habits are the things that have given me probably the most bang for my buck. The ability to transform the negative states within me into actually what's missing, and then be able to go out and try and help someone else. It's given me a new life. And yeah, I wouldn't trade it, you know. When I first heard, I wouldn't trade my worst day for my best day. Fucking bullshit. My good days were good. They were. I had good days. But what I wouldn't trade is the feelings that I get when I'm full. You know, the actual... I remember just walking down the street in recovery and, like, almost starting to cry and ringing my sponsor confused. And he's like, that's called joy. Well, I'd never felt it before. Like, genuinely, I'd never felt that feeling. So to actually know what that feels like, that moment, I wouldn't trade that for the best day in addiction. For my best day on drugs, because it's the same thing. It's just like being on MDMA, but without the come down and without the bullshit. You know, MD makes me scattered, joy makes me sort of calm. So, yeah, I don't know if I've got any time left, but I don't really have much more to say. But apart from this is a great convention. I haven't done a whole lot of conventions. I was away for the first sort of a year in rehab, 3 years of jail. So I've been out for 2 years. And I do a lot of seminars as well. And it's really funny that this is a very similar setup, except you're not trying to fleece all my money. Like, to get a sponsor in AA is free, get a mentor at a seminar is about $2,000 a week. So I think it's really funny, just the actual business model that Bill's got in AA. It's like, it's cheesy America, right? But it's free, so the intention and the values behind it, I'm really appreciative of it. And to see that it still works, all this, you know, Bill and Bob are dead, and here we are in a foreign country, still doing the same crap, like, and... I don't mean crap, I mean like doing the same things. Yeah, so I'm really glad to be able to be here and be part of AA, because before I was that lost. I was head in my hands in the backyard going, how the F did I do that again? Just every 3 to 6 months, minimum. Yeah, and to be able to wake up today and go, oh, I can do something today, and I have a set of tools and a set of habits, and I've got a fellowship of people, but I don't ever have to go back to that life if I don't want it. And for that, I'm grateful, so thanks for listening.
I'll call our second speaker, Linda.
Hi, thanks everyone. I'm Linda, I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Jordan. You're on my page. now my phone wants to update. I wrote down some of my step 10 questions because, like Jordan, those questions in the book kind of... I tried to do them for like the first year, and what did I pack into the stream of life today wasn't specific enough for me. I had to make it what didn't I do. So for that one, I write down who did I help today and how. Or not necessarily write down, I can do it in my head, it doesn't matter to me. Might to you. We all have our own ways of doing this program, I guess. But did I help anyone today? Like, it's quite easy to forget sometimes. For me, it's also, like, I wanted to be at this whole convention, but my daughter flew in from Melbourne last night, and I went Pokemon hunting with my son this morning. So was I fully present for them, or was I going, oh, I want to be at Aussie Power? No, I was fully present for them, and they knew that I would have a good time when I got here. And I was very selfish drinking. I took myself away from my kids completely. And now, with whatever I do, I'd sort of like to add value to myself and to others. And again, I completely agree with no whips in recovery. And it took me a while. On Facebook, I saw, if shaming myself helped, I would have been perfect by now. And that was a red letter day for me, because I came in here. It took me 3 months to accept my first invitation to coffee and all that kind of thing. And so now I'm trying to look at myself with kindness. And so some of the questions I ask myself, you know, did I speak kindly? Was I kind to all today? I think it says in the book, that includes me now. Was I kind to me? Or was I going, look at that fat roll, look at that wrinkle, look at that this, look at that that. Oh, you piece of shit, you said this again. No, not anymore. I don't. And when I do miss the mark, I go, okay, what could I have done better? But more on that later. My 10-year-old and I do step 10 at night together, and he loves it. If I forget, he reminds me. So we lay down in bed together and he goes, oh, Mum, don't forget step 10. I go, okay, yeah. And our step 10 together is, what did I do that I was proud of today? And he'll say, oh, this kid fell over in the schoolyard and I went and helped him up and asked him if he was all right or whatever. And then what did I do that I could have done better? And he'll say, oh, I was really lazy in that class and didn't bother paying attention or whatever. And then what do I owe an apology for? And a lot of times there's nothing, but sometimes there is. And when he gets home from school the next day, I say, oh, did you go and apologise? And I'm always really honest with him too, because I didn't know that it was okay to miss the mark sometimes. I thought that to the people in my life, I had to appear flawless. If I wasn't perfect, I was nothing. So I'm very honest with my mistakes. You know, one issue I have since I've stopped drinking is smoking. Pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down. And I'm honest. I used to hide all that from everyone, and now I'm more honest about it. It's like, okay, I'm not an evil person, because occasionally I'll have 6 cigarettes a day for 3 days and then I'll go 6 months without having any. I'm not the most awful person in the world, but I used to feel like I was the most complete failure that ever lived, because I know better, and of course it's not God's will for me, and my da-da-da, you know, crazy stuff that doesn't give me this happy, joyous and free life that we're heading towards here. And my higher power really wants me to be happy. He wants me to like myself, and I've really noticed that when I'm okay with me, it just really helps me relate to you properly, I think, in a healthy way. And so a lot of what I do these days is about feeling settled and okay with myself, and that helps me be one among many and that sort of stuff. Was I honest with myself? I sometimes make stuff up in my head. It's not true. But I have a hard time seeing it's not true. So that's something I have to pray in the morning with my third step prayer, and I say, God, help me to see life how it really is today, not how I want it to be, because that leads to those dashed expectations. Help me to see people as they really are. I tend to always see the good in people, and that's a good thing. However, sometimes I open myself up too much to people who aren't what I think, you know, so I ask God to help me see that. Did I live according to my values, or was I more focused on what you thought of me? So I'd rather be the Linda that God made than the one I keep thinking you want me to be. You know, it's very exhausting. It's really exhausting. Another good one, what are my motives for my actions? And one way to check that is to go back through your texts for the day. Because when I'm texting them, I'm not thinking of it. Later on, I'll go, oh, I text that. Why did I want them to think I was awesome? Is that why I sent that? Or was it, no, I really just wanted to express God's kindness to that person and send a message. And it's like, I'm not so bad after all. Sometimes I really just do nice things. How good is that? So I always love it when science and spirituality meet, and you know, there's a lot of teaching around on rewiring the brain. I really love that sort of stuff, because that's what I'm doing. I'm getting a healthy brain, not a brain that says alcohol's the answer for my life, but a brain that says God's the answer, living well's the answer, being kind to you is the answer. And I heard a story about this guy in prison who played this round of golf every day and all that sort of stuff, and then in his head, and then came out and did it all perfectly. So it says in the book something about how visualize how we could do better. And so for me, it's then, God, who would you have me be in this situation? And if I've gotten angry in traffic, I practice doing the exact same thing, but handling it? What would a spiritual person do, I might say? Or what would someone who cares about herself do in that situation? What would someone who wasn't fearful do in that situation? And so I practice in my head the new behaviour that a happily sober, free person would have, someone who's really sure of God's connection with them and my connection with the world, someone who's sure of all those things. I wouldn't really be fighting people or putting you down or rubbishing someone else in the fellowship, you know, if I was really spiritually healthy. And so I practice a new behaviour in my mind until it becomes who I am. And I ask my higher power, who would you have me be? Because I don't just want it to come all out of me. I want it to come out of who God would have me be. And the more I'm at ease with myself, the less a drink appeals to me. All right, thanks very much.
All right, so we'll call on some members who would like to share for 5 minutes. Is there anyone here that's from interstate at all? No, is there anyone that hasn't had a chance to share yet this weekend? Okay, I'll just start picking some people. Maury, would you like to come up and share?
Thanks, Maury. My name's Maury, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm grateful to be sober today, and review me day, well, that's something I don't do every day, but I mean, when the pain gets great enough, I do something about it. And infantry's been spoken about. That's the key to freedom for me. And I need to be honest and go to my sponsor and you know, see where I'm playing God. I mean, he gets me to read from page 85, halfway from 85 through to 88. And if I'm doing them things in my life, I'll live happy, joyous and free. You know, my life today is beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I was at rehab the other day and they were joking and saying, oh, what floor do you want to go back to? And I said, I've done my apprenticeship, mate, I'm here visiting. you know, and I mean that. I mean, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. But I tell you what, I'm so grateful and that's why I'm back there. If I'm not at work, I'm at that rehab, you know, trying to help someone. I've been thinking about myself all my life and through doing infantry, that's what it teaches me. If I want a good life, I've got to get off myself, you know. And, it's just the things that have happened to me. It's unbelievable. I've been sacked from jobs. I've been re-employed. I've had one bloke give me 4 goes. I don't know who's more insane, him or me. You know? I'll tell you what, he's got a heart of gold. And, you know, I love that man because he never has once rubbished anyone. He's had people roll his trucks, he's had them smash them, and he never puts them down, not once. You know, and that's, he's not an alcoholic. But I mean, and like, that there come a time though where he said enough was enough with me. But he's still a referee for me. How good's that? You know, so I mean, I went to America. I like, you know, step two. I'm just so grateful, you know, service. I go into prisons today and do service. I've been a CSO rep. I've done a treasurer's job. You know, run 7 meetings and bank the money and work 12 hours, 60, 70 hours a week. So what? Still go and find time to do the banking, you know. I've got to make it happen. You know, I can sit back and say I'm too busy. I mean, yeah. But anyway, I was a dry drunk for 8.5 years. I was madder, sober, and done more harm in that first 8.5 years of my recovery. Like I've heard here today, it took me 8.5 years to get the honesty to ask someone to take me through the steps in the big book. And that's where the program is, in the book. Not my program. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Me, I've been thinking about myself all my life. You know, when it comes to step eight, I mean, I said to my sponsor one day, I'm going to put me on top. And he said, what do you mean you're going to put you on top? That's all you've been thinking about all your life, mate. That's why you've got a step eight. That's why you've got a list. you know, and that's ego deflating. That's ego deflating for me. And it's not easy. That's why it took me 8.5 years to go through the step. I mean, you know, I'm just so grateful. I mean, hasn't been easy. I mean, I've been had to sit back in my car full of depression and sick as, and an AA member's still taking me out to the prison to do service. You know, I took Mum out for a drive that morning. I've had to lay down for an hour and rest my head, get back up, go out to the servo, park my bike, get in this car, feeling terrible and sweating, but I've still done the stool. And, you know, I'm reaching the benefits of that today, you know. I mean, I seen most of the AA history when I was in our plant at Georgia. I drove 2,500 miles around America in 4 days. That's insanity, but I don't care because, you know, I had a couple of hours sleep, an hour of sleep wherever I could, and it's just so beautiful. And if I'm above ground and still alive when Detroit's on, 2020, I'll do the same thing again because I loved it that much. I'm so passionate about AA, you know. For me to keep what I've got to give it away, you know. I have a sponsor and I sponsor. You know, and like I said, the program's in the book. I mean, if they don't want to do what's in the book, I said, go and find someone else in AA. There's plenty of people doing nothing. And I mean, you know, and that was me for 8.5 years, so thanks. Thanks,
Mary. The
lady behind me, would you like to share?
Yeah,
Desiree.
Sorry, I don't know anyone's name.
Okay, and that's okay. Okay, hi, I'm Desiree. I'm an alcoholic. So this is about our inventory in the evening. Well, I have to say the reason why I've come here is because I want to get a bit of what you know. You know, this is me being honest, coming here, because the truth is, you know, 2.5 years in, I don't do it so well. I was having a joke before this meeting saying, yeah, my idea of, you know, doing the inventory at night is with one eye open, going, okay, hey God, so how did we kind of go today? Was I a complete bitch at all today? No? Awesome. Okay. Did you trot on anybody's toes? No. Okay, good. Did you try to do your best? Yes. Okay, that's enough. Thanks. Okay, good night. And I'll turn the light out. And I think as you go along, that the more you know, the more you realise that you need to do more to get this feeling. You know, it nearly is kind of like a drug, isn't it? Like with our drinking, that, you know, at first it would take, you know, 2 glasses of bubbles to get this girl, you know, happily jolly, and then it was a bottle, and then, you know, 2.5 bottles, you know, would get me ready. It's the same with this recovery, you know. Now I know a little bit more. You know, the serenity prayer in the beginning was, it was all I could hold on to get me through that first, I don't know, 6 months to a year. And thank goodness for the serenity prayer, because you could say that at any given moment, and even if it was just the word serenity over and over and over again, you would be okay. But now I really need to reflect, because I feel a bit more responsible now. I feel like I'm a bit more of an adult now that I'm a bit more sober. I'm not flying under the radar so much anymore, and I think I'm a little more visible, so I need to be responsible. And, you know, that's part of what I project. So, yeah, in the evening, I really, really like what you had said first, but I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name, but I really like the idea of having the columns of, you know, did I leave people in a better way than what I found them? And that's what I do aim for, but I didn't realise until I heard it in words, and that's what I need to hear here. Being gentle and caring. You know, we talked about not having whips on us, you know, for the first 6 months through, you know, trying to get sober. My sponsor constantly saying, be kind to little Desiree, be kind to her, because, you know, she's a lovely girl. And I needed to hear that, and I have to have that in my head to remind myself, and then I can give that to other people. When I can give that to other people and say, you know what, you're human, and that's okay, because we all are. You know, we were born, you know, in the same way, and we'll go the same way, and that's just, you know, it's just the way it goes. So, you know, I'm not looking at you, I'm not judging you, and you don't need to do the same thing for me, because, yeah, and if I can keep it to that, man, that's a great day. That is a great day. I think you said, Maury, about you know, when the pain's big enough. Yeah, I do write it down when everything's really gone bad, bad, bad. Then I think, so that I can have some peace and put my head on the pillow, I do need to write it out. And then I can give it to God. I pop it in my God sock, or I pop it in my God. You know, I've got this sock in my bedside table, and I'll write it all out, and I'll shove it in the sock, and then I can put it away. You know, give it to you, God, you know, because this is too big for me right now, but I need to sleep. And it gives me a measure of peace, and that's something that I do like to do if it's been Ben here, or so it seems in my head. Yeah, but I think I'm going to really enjoy carrying on listening to you all. Thank you.
Lee, have you shared this weekend?
I've shared today, thanks. So okay. I'm Lee, apologetic.
Hi there.
The chap with the hat and the sunnies and the hair, would you like to share? Okay, how about the guy next to you? Thanks.
Hey, I'm Ben, I'm an alcoholic. I've been in AA for a pretty long time, and I came in pretty young. When I got in here, I was really, you know, just, I got a lot of hope on the first day and just got right into it straight away. And the first couple of years of sobriety were awesome. I, you know, got a sponsor and did the steps and was working the steps, and then I, you know, over the years I've gotten complacent, and so I've like done less and less, and slowly like gotten less meetings, less, you know, and then I think the meetings for me is what really keeps everything else going too. And where I've gotten to the point where I just started getting back to a few meetings again recently, and you know, I've got to get back into it because I've really let, you know, taken my own will back and everything, and so that's taking me to a point like where, you know, that inventory at every night is like a really major part of the program, and I haven't really been doing it. So, but even, you know, when I was, it was, I used to just, you know, ask God at night where I've been selfish, dishonest, resentful and afraid throughout the day, and you know, wait for it to come to me, and I just like go through the day in my mind and do it like that, and you know, that worked for me, but doesn't work if I don't do it. So yeah, that's where I'm at the moment, and just coming down to this convention and hearing some different people, and everything's been great. I've heard a couple of guys who have been in the same boat as me but have gotten back into doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you know, they sound like they're real happy. They just spoke in the last session, and that was great, just hearing that. And yeah, hopefully I can go away and stick to getting back to a few meetings a week and getting on with what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what I'm, you know, I know, but I just, like, not spending the time here and not talking about it and everything, it just, I don't do it, I just let it go. And yeah, so that's my, what I'm getting from the convention is and what I really need at the moment is just to not get complacent with the program, put AA first, and you know, do what I'm supposed to be doing. I've got a, you know, business and family and house and everything else going on, and that's all got to, AA's got to come first, and otherwise it's all going to collapse. Because yeah, it's been me running the show, and yeah, it's not working out. Up until, you know, when I was doing the program and everything was running smoothly, I was in a better financial situation and everything, and yeah, now that I've slowly, like, taken back managing my own life, it's starting to get, you know, like, me managing is not working out, basically. So, yeah, it's great to be here, and, yeah, thanks for putting that on.
Thanks, Ben. The lady with the black scarf, actually.
Good to see you. My name's Nicole. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, can I just see, what is the topic?
So, constructively review our day. And the reading is from page 86.
Constructively reviewing our day. Yeah, well, I came to this session, this meeting, because I wanted to know what you guys do, because I feel like of any part of my program, this is the part that I do the least consistently. I retire at night, and I've got these questions written out on a card, but usually, you know, and I've shared about this in other meetings, you know, like I'll get to the end of the day, I'm tired and I've got the card and I go through the card and, you know, it's not necessarily the most effective way for me to really think about my day because I'm tired and I just want to just do it and go to sleep, you know? And I find that for me, something that works well is throughout the day, if I notice I'm resentful. Here I've gone into this resentment in my head. Sometimes it's real, sometimes, you know, something's happened. Sometimes it's a total figment of my imagination. Rage will come up, anger will come up, fear, anytime like this. And that to me is the opportunity where I go, oh, hey, wait a minute, something's going on here. I got to look at this. What's triggering this, you know? What's my part? What do I got to do? You know, what do I need to do? And it comes back to that prayer, too, about, you know, because all of these defects of character, whether I'm scared or whether I'm resentful, which is really the same thing, I'm powerless over that. And so I just, you know, part of the program is just for me, getting God to take that from me as it comes up. it's something that I've heard that I really like as well, that I do from time to time too, are those the questions about, you know, what am I doing right today? That was really, really lovely. You know, what am I doing right today? How have I been of assistance to others? How have I helped others? You know, have I practiced surrender? Have I practiced acceptance? I can congratulate myself for that, or something to that effect. And so I'm trying to be mindful of that as well, because, yeah, for me, that deep sense of unworthiness and shame and, self-loathing, really. Looking at all the defects and then beating myself up for that, not effective. I really like that too, you know, if shaming myself worked, I'd be perfect by now. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that actually. That was good. It makes a lot of sense for me. This one is something. What have I packed into the stream of life? And for me, I ask myself that because I can be a real procrastinator. You know, when I do ask myself that and I think, okay, what have I put off today? Like, did I, did I put something off that I could have done today? Did I put my recovery second to anything? Because I know in terms of the stream of my life, if I'm not putting that first, the stream of my life comes to a very abrupt halt. And, this is part of, I guess, this is what makes my life flow, this stream of life, this is my recovery. All else flows from my recovery and how it's going. And I'm getting the 1 minute warning, so thank you very much. I'll just wrap it up there. I've really enjoyed what I've heard today. I've been in this room the whole time because I just look through the program and I just go, oh, like that's definitely where I want to be. That's what I got to hear. And so I've really enjoyed everyone's shares and I'm really grateful to everyone that's put this on. So thank you very much for you guys and your volunteering. And thanks for you guys for being here.
Thanks a lot. Could you please welcome our third guest speaker today, please, Evelyn.
Hi, everybody. My name's Evelyn. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Evelyn.
And my home group is Spirit of Freedom on the Gold Coast in Eleanor, and you're all welcome. It's on a Tuesday night. For me, it's been an awesome meeting. It's been a great weekend, and again, congratulations to the committee, and thank you, much gratitude for putting on the weekend. I love conventions. I love conventions. It's like a whole, it tells me that I get a daily reprieve, contingent, depending on my spiritual condition, and I am no way perfect at doing this program on a daily basis, but, 3 days intensive care, and, I walk away here spiritually fit, I hope anyway. I am in my mind, which is not always trusted. I've heard a lot of stuff that I was going to talk about, the things like the whip, especially relate to that a lot, I got taught in the fourth step how to do inventory and understand that, that my instincts out of whack is a major cause of all my defects. And I have an understanding that basically all my defects stem from fear. Fear of not getting what I think I want, and remember, what I think I want, and not getting what I... then losing what I think I have. Because again, I don't have anything. This is all contingent and depending on God, on my spiritual condition. This has nothing to do with me. This is none of my business. So I struggled a lot with, taking inventory and going into that remorse, into that worry, into that bitter pit of morass, of self-pity. And, the first lady that took me through the steps, clearly explained that that's not useful. It's not useful to me, and it's certainly not useful to you. Because if I'm beating the crap out of myself, how can I give an impression of recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. You know, if I'm still hopeless, then how have I recovered? I haven't picked up a drink today. And again, I always relate to Maury's story because it was 8.5 years for me too, Maury, before I worked the program. You know, I was stark raving sober. You know, you know, very much so. You know, I was happy, joyous and free on a pink fluffy cloud for 3 years until somebody attacked my ego, said I was a dry drunk. I had a crush on them, so that hurt even more. You know? So then proceeded, you know, down the rabbit hole. I don't know whether I was constitutionally incapable or whether I just wasn't able to be honest enough. But when somebody said to me, you know, I saw recovery, so I thought. I heard recovery, so I thought. You know, but I hadn't let go of the self-sufficiency that I needed to ask somebody for help. Because self-sufficiency, as I've heard over this weekend so far, was my survival tool. My story is that I needed self-sufficiency to survive, to get me to that point. You know, it wasn't just an ego-driven thing. It wasn't just pride. It was self-sufficiency. It was survival, you know. So how was I going to let that go? How was it? I didn't have a concept of a higher power because I hadn't yet been through the 12 steps. So I didn't know what my concept of God was. I didn't know how to tap into that. I didn't know how to be present with that, you know. So I've heard a lot, and I think, you know, it's already been spoken as to how to do a 10-step inventory, basically, this morning. In the sense, or this morning, yeah, I'm still there, this afternoon. My dad often says to me, he says, you know, you run on 25-7. You know, like, what do you pack into the day? I try to pack as much as possible into day. And sometimes that's very useful, and other times it's not. Other times I'm running around and everybody's in my way because I've got stuff to do, man. You know, I've got life to happen today. I have a very full, ordinary, extraordinary life today. I have a lot of hope. I'm a single mum of 2 teenage children. Whoa, who did that? You know, and they're emotionally balanced better than me. They grew up in these rooms. I didn't do that. You people did that. I don't take any credit for any of this. God and you people have shown me how to be the person I am in this moment. You might see me later dancing and you won't see the same person, but anyway, that's all right. So I just wanted to point out, you know, it's been pointed out to me that, you know, my sponsor talks about, you know, if you do this, you will get that. And if you don't do this, you will also get that. You know, so one of the things that's been pointed out to me is where the promises, they're not just the 9-step promises. You know, yes, did I have the most profound change and finally had found some forgiveness for myself so that I didn't shame myself all the time, so that I didn't go into that bitter place of morass and self-pity. You know, when I was able to finally forgive other people and see that they too, like me, were spiritually sick, when I was prepared to look at it from a different point of view, you know, when I was prepared to accept that, you know, take responsibility for my actions, my behaviours, and then like that, not beat myself up and accept that I'm human. And, you know, I've just been realising as well that there's a fancy word for it, but I'm a kinesthetic learner. I learn by doing. I have to make mistakes. That's how I learn. You know, I have to walk my way through the process because if I don't, I don't comprehend. And if I fail to comprehend, then I don't learn. And I can't grow from that. And in step 10, a lot of people talk about step 10 as being, then 11 and 12 being the maintenance steps. The only two, I had a brief look before, but I know there's a couple of places where it talks about maintaining. And it's maintaining my spiritual condition. It doesn't say anything about maintaining 10, 11 and 12. 10, 11 and 12, it actually says continue to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I have to continue to grow because if I stand still, I will go backwards. So getting back, long-winded way around to the point, sorry, I wanted to bring up the 10-step promises. You know, and my understanding, this is just my opinion and my understanding, probably been pointed out to me as well, which I can't give any credit to because I've no idea anything I say is not original at all. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. I think you talked about it, Jordan, when you said in the prison you poured the vodka down because you went, oh, to me that's sanity. When I react like a retreat from a flame or whatever it says in thing, that's sanity for me because I know that that stuff's not right for me. So for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, oh, here we are. If tempted, we recoil from it as a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on my part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. My higher power does that for me today. Has always done that for me. I just didn't know. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in a fit spiritual condition. And again, it talks about in these pages between, I read from 84 to 88, you know, it starts, you know, if I'm painstaking about this process, I've got to go through pain to grow. It's been my experience. I'm not wise. I'm not wise where I learn from other people's mistakes. I have to make my own. And if I'm painstaking, it means there must be some pain in there, you know? So, and it tells me that they will materialise if I work for them. So if I take the action. And it tells me on page 88 that basically... Sorry. Again, more promises, you know? And it says... We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, so the spot check inventory that was talked about as well. I, you know, when I fall asleep at night without doing a tenth, I've had no resentment. I haven't hurt anybody. Because if I have, I'll be awake and I'm doing a tenth. You know? So... We say humbly, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. You do this, I don't. In all things, turn to God. We are then in much less danger of excitement, and I know excitement. When I came in here, I got off the merry-go-round because it was making me sick. All merry-go-rounds do, literally. But then I got on the roller coaster. Oh, buckled up, buckled up. Yeah, I was up here. And what goes up must come down, down the rabbit hole. I had no emotional balance, no nothing. And still today, you know, still today, I can try. That's where the insanity comes back and I'll get back on that roller coaster and think it's fun, excitement. No. Swings. I'm good with the swings. I'm old now, you know. I'm good with the swings, you know. Sorry. I'll just finish on this. Thanks. Said we're in much less danger of excitement, fear. Fear. Again, all my defects of character are springing by fear. Anger, resentment, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily for we are not burning up energy foolishly. So I'm not that tired, but I wake up naturally every morning now. As we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works, it really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined. I am so undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in this simple way they have just outlined. And the way they've outlined is in the first 11 steps. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you to our guest speakers and to all those who shared. Could we thank again? And, thanks to to those who listened as well. There's a couple of announcements. The first one is, I believe there's still some raffle tickets, $2 at the literature table for a second edition big book, and a first Australian big book, 70 Years of Growth. Tickets are $2 each, or 3 for $5. That brings our meeting to a close. To allow us time to set up for the dinner commencing at 6:30, we invite you all to attend the Bean Lee meeting. So there's actually a meeting across the road, the Bean Lee Community Centre. It's an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. It goes from 5 till 6, and I believe it's a topics meeting, and it's a great meeting. There'll be a lot of members walking over there. It's literally 100 metres that way, right next to the police station. Can't miss it.
They're having a barbecue too, sausage sizzle. So.
Yeah, so I'm getting to that. So we have... that's all right, Laurie. I'll put it on my inventory. Dinner is a two-course meal here. So those that have registered for dinner, dinner will be in this room here. And if you have... Obviously, you've paid for your Saturday registration. Well, the dance is included in your Saturday registration. So the dance starts at 7:30. So what you can do is you can hang around here for, you know, 15 minutes, have a cup of coffee, and then head over to the Bean Lee meeting, continue the fellowship and the AA message over there. Then there's a sausage sizzle there for more fellowship, and then you can come back here and have a dance. And I look forward to seeing Evelyn dance. And, and it's worth
so
coming
pretty.
Just for that. So I hope that clears things. If you have any questions, come up and ask us. But that's kind of what's happening for the rest of the night. If it'd be great for you to hang around. That's about it. Yeah. So could you please join in the Serenity Prayer, holding hands to symbolise unity, if you wish. Would you like to take this out into prayer?
To a God of your own understanding.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Keep your heart works, we work it, we work it.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for letting me
chat. Awesome. Good to hear
you. Good to hear you. Excellent. It's good to see you guys enjoy.
Hey, Jay. What was the name?
Oh, I said I'll put it on my resentments.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Mate, I couldn't care less.
No, you're all right. Sorry, I just didn't realize.
I've got a theory. And that's the two things I hear you say. I've got a theory that you have a self-sponsor as well.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Halfway down page 85.
Yeah.
And,
I forget which one it is.
Thank you. I better turn. Thanks, Martina.
Yeah. There you go.